Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 281, stanzas 1 through 4. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. 1 through 4 of Psalter 281. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter, the first 19 verses. John 12, verses 1 through 19. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 12, verses 1 through 19. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Ashley Rosendahl, who will hopefully be able to come home in the week to come, and also Chad Outshorn, who must go into the hospital again in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we attempt to speak unto thee, thou who art holy, thou who art the King of kings. And we have read out of thy word of those who did cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That is also what takes place about thee in this moment, around about thy everlasting throne, when the hosts of heaven do magnify and do glorify thy holy and thy worthy name in such a perfection of holiness. But Lord, the multitude in this world, they did cry one day, "Hosanna," and the next, "Crucify him." And oh, when we are not kept, then also all our acknowledgement of thee, and that will turn out to be nothing but hypocrisy, nothing but deceit. Oh, that thou may remember us. Lord, when thou wilt not give it to us, then it will all turn out wrong. Oh, convert us unto thee and grant a life in our poor souls, that there may be hearts within us and that may go out unto thee in uprightness and in truth, as it did in the days gone by, wherein thou hadst created us in such a perfect righteousness, knowledge and holiness, in thy blessed image. Lord, we have lost it. We have departed from thee. And we have said unto thee, we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways. and we desire to be our own gods. Lord, so our life shows it. So our life testifies what lies in our hearts when day after day that we show that we have no thought of Thee. And when our hearts are just so carnal and so cleaving to all the things that are here below, and eternity that hardly comes into our thoughts by nature. Lord, remember us in mercy. O Thou who art the Alpha, Thou who art the beginning, Thou who art the Almighty One, when we cannot turn unto Thee, when our hearts are too evil, when our hearts are so inclined to nothing but sin, and when we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and when we cannot turn unto Thee with our whole heart, or when we are so dependent upon the work of Thy Holy Spirit, then when it is Thy holy day, and when we may have come this morning in the way of Thy providence into Thy house of prayer, Lord, to whom else then can we go but unto Thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou canst say to the one, come, and he comes. To another, go, and he goes. And Thou canst say this morning unto each and every one of us, live, and we shall live. Oh, that Thou would speak then in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, we must say that we don't deserve it. The life of each and every one of us testifies against us. Oh, that Thou would give then an impression of our wretchedness, of our guilt, that we may be given to come to Thee in such a way. But oh, that Thou may look upon us through Thy dear Son. Lord, hast Thou not sent Him into this world that He might seek and to save that which is lost? Oh, so we show ourselves to be as lost ones. Oh, that Thou would then find us, that Thou would then seek us out, and that Thou would draw us with Thy power and with Thy might. Oh, speak one word unto us, and we shall be healed. Oh, Thou canst do it with the might of Thy power, which is so great. Lord, wilt Thou teach us then, lead us and guide us and keep us from going in the ways of sin and keep us from destroying ourselves and bringing ourselves to that everlasting separation between Thee and our soul. Oh, give us to feel something of the burden of our sin, that it may weigh upon us, and that we might shed true tears of sorrow, and that we have sinned against such a God as Thou art unto us day by day. Lord, come then in our midst. Remember Thy own people. They are not strangers of Thy work, but Thou knowest all the concern that lays within their hearts. Oh, when there are those that have been given a sorrow within, that do understand within their heart that they live in a city of destruction. Those who feel themselves to be without God in this world, who have to die and who are not able to die, and who do not dare to stand before Thy judgment seat. Lord, that there may be such ones in the midst of us, unknown to us, but known to Thee. And those that do not know the way, and that cannot see the solution, who do not know how to come back unto Thee, but that with all their heart they cry with Thy servant, with desire after the sparrows who made their house in the house of God. Oh, the people who have a desire to be brought back into Thy blessed favor and communion. Lord, it is a desire that Thou dost give.
But the people cannot solve it. No, they must be shown by thee something of thy blessed and thy dear Son. Oh, open it, Lord. Reveal him unto them, that they may also be given in this day to rejoice in that blessed, free, and sovereign grace. Oh, give that the needy and the poor ones may be upheld, that the poor in spirit may indeed receive the kingdom of God, and that they may glorify thy blessed name. Oh, remember us if we deceive ourselves. Lord, our hearts are so deceitful, and that we think always the best concerning ourselves, and that we do not want to place ourselves on the outside. But Lord, show to us the reality. Show to us the truth. Make us honest before thee. Oh, then, because we will come in that honesty. And when we come in thy judgment seat one day, oh, make us honest this day. And when it must mean that then we must see that we are truly on the outside of that people. Oh, may it give a true and an earnest cry to heaven, and that thou thyself may include us. Lord, remember all thy children. Remember all those that have no concern. When we go over this world only looking for the things of the time, oh, instruct us, Lord. Show to us the vanity of our life, and that it is but a few days that we have here below, and that soon that we have to die. Oh, may we be given a true concern, and may thy spirit awaken us out of our death sleep. Remember all the afflicted ones, the little child who is in the hospital this day. Thou hast thus far made all things well, and thou knowest the procedures he still must undergo. And wilt thou guide the hands of the physicians yet? And wilt thou bring her safely through? And wilt thou bless the means that are used to her recovery? Strengthen her in the body. Visit her in that place. Also the other child in our midst, who from time to time must go into the hospital, and who must be placed under anesthesia. And Lord, thou knowest all the dangers. Oh, may we not take all these things for granted that thou hast given him thus far. Oh, that thou may help him again. May thou bless the means. May thou protect him through all these ways and heal his body further. Oh, visit him also, as both of them as little children. And wilt thou make all of us as little children, that we may enter into that kingdom of God. Remember widows, widowers and orphans, and all those who are afflicted and sick. Wilt thou supply in all the needs of sorrow, of sickness, of mourning, of grieving, of missing. And Lord, be one who is experienced to be a God nearby. And so wilt thou draw for the things of the soul. Wilt thou look upon those that travel. In these days, each one of them. Wilt thou keep over dangerous ways. And wilt thou give us also an impression in our souls, that we need every moment to be kept by thee. And may thou look upon all of us in the individual circumstances of our life, our youth and our children, our families. Oh, give true conversion amongst our families, Lord. Wilt thou give that the work of thy spirit may be evident among us and amongst our little and our older children, and that the fear of thy name may be manifest in the fleeing and the fear to walk in the ways of sin, and that thy word may be seen to be precious unto many, and that there may be a need also in this morning. And when we have come up in thy house of prayer, and when we have come to the beginning of that season whereon we consider in a special way thy suffering and thy death, oh, may it be that there is a need also in our hearts for this work to be applied. Oh, may there be a people who in this morning have a cry to thee, and that thou may also use the preaching of thy word for the good of their own soul. Lord, make it a true religion in our hearts, and that it may not only be in our minds a way of doctrine, but wilt thou give that we may experience the necessity and the preciousness of those blessed truths within our soul. Oh, come thou, Lord, in this day. Strengthen us in the body, in the mind. And oh, fill us with thy Holy Spirit to bring thy word. Oh, wilt thou thyself show thyself to be in the midst of us? And wilt thou cause an inward weeping, an inward longing, an inward yearning after thee this day, life from the dead? We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 348, the first of four stanzas. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. Psalter 348. As stanzas 1 through 4, and we have one announcement, that is that there will be no catechism classes tomorrow evening.
Congregation, we begin in this week what we call the weeks of passion. That is, that in a very special manner, that we consider the suffering and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a work upon which the salvation of the true church of God is based, is founded, is grounded. There are people in this world that have no rest in their soul. Is that also true of some in our midst? No rest in your soul. We read that in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. No sleep night or day. Then there was a true concern. And now for that people, there is also need of comfort. And what is that need for comfort that concerns the forgiveness of their sin? Because that is the only way that man is able to appear before his Maker. And now, what is of such importance to that people who cannot do without the forgiveness of their sin? That is, that that death of the Lord Jesus Christ is a propitiation. That is, that that death of Christ, that is a payment. That is so necessary for their comfort. And there are so many who want to call themselves preachers of the gospel who say that that death of Christ, that is no atonement, that is no actual payment, no actual propitiation. It is but an example. Well, you understand that this is no comfort for those who need that their sin would be forgiven. Thus, when the death of Christ had been some accident, then it would be without value for the church of God. But when that death of Christ was on purpose, when that death of Christ was according to the will and to the decree of God for His church, then that death is for that people without value. That is, with that they cannot express the greatness of the value of that death. Thus, every instance wherein we see in the Word of God that that death of Christ was willful, that that death of Christ was decreed, every one of those instances is of such great value for the comfort of those who need their sin to be forgiven. Matthew writes, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." That is, that he says to his disciples, soon, very soon, I am to be betrayed. I am to be crucified. That he knows what is taking place. And that he is going willfully toward that work which he has come upon the face of this earth to perform. That is a great comfort for that true church. We read further, "Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." So the chief priests and the scribes, they want to regulate when that the Lord Jesus will be put to death. They say, not on the feast day, because they want to prevent a mass revolt, a mass rebellion by the people. But those Pharisees and those scribes had absolutely no control over when that the Lord Jesus would be put to death. None. That was in the hands of God. Why? Because it was all according to his own previous decree. And when the Jews would hasten that day, then the Lord Jesus escaped out of their hands. And when the Jews would delay that day, postpone it, not on the feast day, then the Lord Jesus hastens it. Then he says to Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. Why? It must be on the feast day. Because it will be the actual slaying of that great Passover lamb. It will be the actual fulfillment of that Passover. And then not only the day, but also the very hour. That is in the hand of the Lord, showing to his church that it is his own work, and that what he has prophesied in the days of old, that he has brought to pass in every detail. Sacrificed at the time of the morning sacrifice, dying at the time of the evening sacrifice. Thus he will be manifestly, he will be evidently the antitype whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation for the sins of his church. That is that comfort that is so necessary in the lives of that needy people. And we wish to consider that further with you from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that we have read to you, John 12, and thereof the 7th verse. John 12, verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. So far, the words of our text. Jesus defends his anointing by Mary first by a due admonishment. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Second, by a blessed explanation. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Thus Christ defends his anointing by Mary first by a due admonishment. Second, by a blessed explanation. Let her alone. Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he doing? He is defending someone. Someone who cannot defend herself. Do you dare to do that, boys and girls, young people? When you are in school, and when everyone in your class or on the playground, they are speaking about one child, then are you ready also to do the same? Are you brave enough that you are ready to stand up and to say, let her alone. Let him alone. That was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let her alone. Who is it that the Lord Jesus is defending? What are the circumstances? Well, we have read that from the Gospel of John. And we can also read that in the Gospels of Matthew and of Mark. The Lord Jesus, he is here in the house of Simon the leper. He is in Bethany, and they are there for a meal that has been prepared by his friends. It is a few days before the celebration, the commemoration of the Passover. Congregation, what a blessed company is this company of people. When we read about who was there, who was there? The Lord Jesus himself was there. What must that have been? To sit at the same table with the Lord Jesus Christ, to eat with him, to sup with him. How often do we not read that in the Song of Solomon? Solomon speaks about what that is. To eat with that bridegroom. Oh, what a blessed place to eat when he is there. He hath prepared me a table, David says, in the presence of my foes. What a blessed thing. But who does he eat with? We read that in the Bible too. That he eats with publicans and with sinners. Oh, then may we also sit once to eat with him. We say a blessed company. Who else was there? The disciples. That was not easy for them to be there. It was only a short time ago. The Lord Jesus was in Judea. And we read that they sought to stone him. The Lord Jesus has left that place. When the Lord Jesus would go back again to raise Lazarus from the dead, then we can read what the disciples are saying, Lord, of late the Jews sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And now, once again, they are returning to this place, to Bethany. That was not easy for the disciples. They felt something of the danger to their Lord. They felt something of the danger unto themselves. And yet they are there. And when the Lord Jesus would go, then they could not remain behind. And why not? because there lives such a love and there lives such an esteem in their heart for the Lord Jesus. How is that with us? Oh, are we also ready to follow Him through all the dangers, through all the trials, through all the tribulations that may come against us in this life? Who else was there? Simon. We read Simon the leper. Who is that man? We don't read so much of him in the Bible, but we assume that is Simon the leper. That is a man who has been cured of his leprosy by the Lord Jesus. And then this meal is in the house of Simon the leper. Can you understand that, boys and girls? That Simon the leper has a desire to make a meal for the Lord Jesus. Oh, what is dwelling in the heart of that man? Then I think that he could not do enough for the Lord Jesus after he has experienced in his own life that the Lord Jesus has spared his life, and that now he may give the Lord Jesus, prepare for him a meal. Oh, then there is nothing that is too much for this man, for the love that is dwelling within his heart. Oh, then I can understand why I read that there are also others who lived in Bethany in that house. Who are they? Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Well, yes, we know what was laying in the heart of these of this family. And then there was also a precious love that is burning in their heart for the Lord Jesus. And then Lazarus himself, we read, he was sitting at that table with the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lazarus. Lazarus, who has been raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus. Oh, then we would say a living testimony of the grace and of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed, blessed house was this. What a blessed, blessed company was this in that hour. Oh, what a blessed meal. What a blessed conversation among these people. Congregation, have we also a desire, and that we may dwell with a true people of the Lord. Oh, that we may come once into that blessed company. Oh, where the conversation may go over what lays in the heart. And that longing after the Lord, that hungering and that thirsting, that love that dwells in the heart for Him. Oh, suddenly there is also a blessed odor in that house. Suddenly a blessed odor is filling that house. What is that we read? It is the ointment of spikenard. That was a very precious substance, a very precious odor. What had happened? Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Oh, suddenly in this house that is filled with that love for the Lord, suddenly then the Holy Spirit is entering into the heart of this Mary to do something. And then she takes this ointment. Usually, boys and girls, when someone would be anointed with this ointment, which was a common thing, then there were just a few little drops. Maybe you have such things in your home that you need not so much, but it is a very powerful thing. Then you need only but a few drops of that ointment. And they are placed on the head of a person. But Mary, oh, she takes that whole bottle and she breaks that bottle. And she pours that whole bottle of that ointment upon the Lord Jesus. Here in John it says upon his feet. And actually in the other Gospels, then they speak about pouring that ointment upon his head. There is actually no contradiction here. But we understand how much of that ointment is being poured upon the Lord Jesus. Then it is as if the Lord Jesus himself, not only his head, but that ointment that is flowing down from his head upon his body, and some of that even reaching unto his very feet. And thus Mary, we read, she is wiping his feet with the hairs of her head. Oh, that ointment, that was a very expensive, a very costly ointment. But then we see from this what is living in that heart of Mary. We see from this what is living in this room amongst this company of people. Oh, then there is an unbounded love. And that is spurring Mary to do this deed. Oh, who can then imagine what is the blessedness that is dwelling in this house? That house that is filled with that love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the evidences of that love. Thus it is dwelling within their hearts. But it is not staying in the heart, no. Then it is also coming forth in the tokens. And now even their very senses, and they are being filled with the tokens of that love in that blessed ointment of spikenard. Or where would you say in the Bible that you could find a place, that you could find a spirit that was so close to the spirit of heaven? And to that, what shall take place there when that people shall sit with him at his table? Oh, that is the place the Lord Jesus has come from. That is the place where he knows what it is and what it shall be. But congregation, every good thing that is in this life for the true church of God is spoiled by something. It is spoiled by what? It is spoiled by sin. That was the sorrow and the grief that the Lord Jesus had to endure when he came into this world. Oh, then it was far greater for him than it was is even for God's people. And why? Because he is so holy. Because he is without sin. And then what is sin to him? In every way it is loathsome. In every way it is despicable. In every way it is so full of pollution. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Amongst that true church of God here below, there is also an enemy. He is undercover. He is in disguise, and he is unknown to everyone except unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas is a chosen disciple of the Lord Jesus, and yet he is full of enmity. He is full of hatred. He does not really belong in that blessed company of the true children of God. He has never known a need for the Lord Jesus. He has never known a need for grace, a need for mercy. And now when he sees the Lord Jesus honored in such a way
then what is dwelling in his heart? Then there is in his heart nothing but enmity. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, that sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? It actually sounds very pious. It actually sounds very godly. We should not waste our money. Also not in the extravagance for the things of the worship of God. The Lord is not looking for pomp and extravagance in the external worship. No, what is the Lord looking for? The Lord is looking for what is dwelling within our heart. Thus, what Judas says here that appears to be very sound and it appears to be very good, and yet it is not. Congregation, how often is that not so? That when we hear something that it can sound so orthodox, that it can sound so proper, that it can sound so like it is in accordance with the Word of God, and yet it is not. John writes, he was a thief and he had the bag. That was, boys and girls, he had the bag. That means that he carried the money for all the disciples. And what was that money for? That money was for the poor. So we would say that this man, he was the treasurer. They collected money from people, and then when people needed money, they gave it out to them, just like the deacons. And he kept the bag. But you know what it says? He was a thief. That means that from time to time, he would take something of that money for himself. He would steal it. He was a thief. And now he saw this money in that ointment. That ointment was very precious. That ointment was very expensive. And immediately he sees the price that that ointment could have brought. And then he cared not for the poor, no, but he would like to have some of that money for himself. He was a thief, and he had the bag. Why did the Lord Jesus choose such a man to be the deacon, to be one of his disciples? Did the Lord Jesus not know that he was a thief, that he was covetous? Oh, yes, he knew it. Should we choose such men to be a deacon when we know that they are a thief? No, we may not do so. But there was a purpose that the Lord has chosen this man. That was because the scripture and the decree of God must be fulfilled. That is, that the Lord Jesus must be betrayed. And therefore, congregation, now what a sin dwelt in this room along with that blessedness that we have spoken of. Oh, there was also in this room hatred. There was envy against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was also in this room covetousness for riches, for temporal things, holding them in higher estimation than the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, of spiritual things. There was also in this room thievery. And then such a hypocrisy, using piety as a cover for that covetousness that lay within the heart.
a wrong judgment, a rash judgment, making a judgment without investigation. Is that also, congregation, all these things, are they also dwelling here in this room? What was in there? Slander. A malicious gossip about Mary. To say of Mary, she doesn't care for the poor. Mary is a waster. An attacking of the name of God's dear child. An inward flattery that his own sin and what lay in his heart, that was minor. And what this woman has done, that was unforgivable. All the sin that dwelt in that room, secret conniving to speak unto the other disciples, to get them also to go along with me against what this woman has done. How was that in the heart of those other disciples? Well, we do not know who, but at least some of those other disciples have gone along with this Judas. The same thing did not dwell within their heart as was in the heart of Judas. But they were persuaded by those arguments of Judas. And they were carried away with that false accusation of Judas. Thus the Lord Jesus must suffer also the ignorance of his own people. And all their mistakes, it could not but be a great grief to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let her alone. The Lord Jesus comes to the side of Mary. The Lord Jesus stands for Mary when Mary cannot give an answer for herself. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, how that accusation must have cut into that contrite heart of Mary, who had done this act so purely out of love. And now the question comes in her own heart, but did I do right? Was it not all wrong? Oh, then the church of God is not a stranger to the temptations of the devil. To disturb their rest, to disturb their quietude, even in the most holy acts that they may be given by the Lord to perform in this life. Oh, it is a people who feel daily their shortness, that their best works, that they are defiled with sin, and still the devil, he would like to turn everything so upside down. Let her alone. It is the Lord. He is coming to the aid of his oppressed church. Soon he has to suffer. Soon he has to die. But to the very last, the Lord Jesus is looking out for his church. And to the very last, the Lord Jesus is not judging according to the outward appearance, no. But he is judging a righteous judgment. Oh, do not be too concerned, congregation, with what all the world thinks, when you may have alone the Lord on your side, then nothing else matters. Let her alone. When the Lord Jesus defends Mary, what is he defending? He is defending his own work. Let her alone. He says, that is my work, and you do not touch it. And at the same time, as he gives this enemy his rebuke, his admonishment, at the same time he gives a blessed instruction unto his people. Let us sing first. Psalter number 99, 1, 2, 3, and 5. The wicked, watching for their prey, desire the righteous man to slay. But God is on his side. He will not leave him in their hands, nor count him guilty when he stands in judgment to be tried. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter number 99.
Thank you.
Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. The Roman Catholic Church has used this history in order to condone the lavish spending within the Church of God. That is, for the sake of religion, they say the Lord Jesus said that this was a proper thing to do. A whole pound, very expensive ointment, but it was for the Lord. And we may adorn our churches with all kinds of luxurious things. But the Lord never meant a congregation to be so. It is the opposite, because the Lord Jesus says here that the poor ye have always with you. That is, that ye may do them good. And yet, the Lord also does not call this expense a waste. Not in these circumstances. So it shows us that what is sinful in one circumstance may not be sinful in another circumstance. That there is not always one rule. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. That is the explanation of the Lord Jesus Christ for that deed of Mary. Did Mary know this? Has Mary done this from her side as an anointing of the Lord Jesus for his burial? Well, we do not think so. No, she did not do this intentionally from her side, but her and the rest of the disciples did not understand yet that what the Lord Jesus would still have to go through. And thus we see here a difference between what we call a first cause and a second cause. The second cause was actually love that was dwelling in that heart of Mary. That was the reason from her side, the second cause. But there was a first cause. There was a higher cause. And that was working above it. In all the ways of providence. And what was that first cause? That first cause is God himself. That first cause is his will. That first cause is his decree. And so we can often read that in the scriptures. The Lord speaks about the Assyrians. That the Lord brought the Assyrians against his own people for their chastisement. That was the first cause. But the Assyrians, the Lord says, in their heart, they did not think so. They thought to destroy Israel. That was actually the second cause. Thus, everything working for good to them that love God, the counsel of the Lord, always standing against the day of my burying, hath she kept this. That is the reason of the Lord himself. That he says, this is preparation for my burial. And now, congregation, why did the people in the Orient anoint the bodies of the dead for burial? That has an important meaning. What is that? Well, they anointed those bodies for their preservation, to preserve the dead body. Why would we preserve a dead body? You don't do that to the animals. Then the children can give me an answer. Why preserve a dead body? Because then we are thinking further. About what? Yes, about a resurrection. Thus, The anointing of a dead body that is pointing to a hope of the resurrection from the dead. We read that the Lord Jesus has often spoken to his disciples about his coming suffering and death. Luke writes this, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." But what do we read? We read, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken." The disciples did not understand it. The disciples could not receive it. And why not? Well, the disciples, even as the rest of the Jewish nation, were intoxicated with a false hope. What was that false hope? That was a hope for an earthly glory. But that was not to happen. No, they could not receive that the Lord Jesus was going to die. But this would happen. And this was going to happen whether these disciples understood it or not. Soon they were going to experience this. And what thing could be more powerful to shake that little faith of those disciples than when the established church itself will put the Lord Jesus Christ to death? Oh, then how their hearts will tremble under the happenings of every day. The Lord Jesus speaks about his burial. He's going to be buried. That is, beneath the ground. Where then will be the hope of that church? All the hope of that church that is going to be buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he has said to them, all their expectations that they had concerning the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, they were all suddenly going to come to an end because he would be dead, because he would be buried. Oh, so it was soon going to be experienced by these disciples. And all their foolishness and all their ignorance did not allow them to receive these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus knew what was going to happen. And what would the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus was looking forward to that day of trouble. The Lord Jesus was looking forward to that day of darkness that his people would have to endure. And what would the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus would give them something already beforehand for that day, that difficult, difficult day that was soon going to be coming. And then he told them that he was going to suffer, he was going to die, but said, "I am going to rise again." As if the Lord Jesus would say, "Remember it in that day when I am lying in the grave." The Lord Jesus did not only tell them, but the Lord Jesus gave them a sign. The Lord Jesus gave them a token. In what? In his anointing. That was the customary sign. That was what was understood. It was the anointing for the burial, which spoke of what? Of the hope of the resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples beforehand that this is why that Mary has done this thing. Later, those women will prepare spices and they will prepare ointment, but they will never get to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. But the Lord has taken care of it, that even before his death, that he was anointed for his burial. What does he say? He says, "Oh, my people, a few days, and everything will be in turmoil for you. Oh, my people, in a few days, the devil is going to tell you that everything is done. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Against the day of my burying hath she done this." Hath she kept this? She has kept it. She has reserved it in store, not for a month before now, but for this day, just before that I must go into this grave. The Lord himself has kept it by the hands of Mary. Oh, how little that infant church realizes what is coming. How little that infant church realizes what is lying before them. The Lord Jesus tells them, oh, he has drawn them, yes. He has drawn their heart with those cords of love, and he has poured out his love in the heart of the people, that they would do everything that lay in their power out of that love for the Lord. But a way of dying, a way of going backwards, a way of having everything, all their expectations, come to nothing. That people cannot receive. That people cannot understand. Then they think it is all gone. But has not the Lord warned his church? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Does the Lord not also speak about the resurrection from the dead? About his anointing with oil? What does the Lord Jesus say to that church? He says, I will overturn it. How is that? That is not easy. But he says, until he come whose right it is. There is an end to it. There is something that people who may live in that overturning are to look forward to. Oh, that way of death
congregation that way of death that is so necessary. But who of that church understands that way when they are brought into it? If Israel thought, if Israel knew that they would have to stand before that Red Sea, they had never left Egypt. No, in that moment, they said it was better that we had never gone. Oh, but it is through that way of death that they receive life. In that sea, that Red Sea, they were baptized. They had to go down. Before it, they had to die. And out of it, they received life. And in that way of the Lord, they may view with their own eyes the destruction of every one of their enemies. Oh, it is congregation, the way of the Lord with his own church, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Oh, that speaks, Church of God, about the hope of eternal life going through what? Going through the way of death. And the Lord Jesus fortifies his people with a hope for those darkest days that were still lying before them, when they would believe that everything was lost. Oh, it is not the hypocrite. It is not the hypocrite. But it is the true church of God that has to experience what it is to go lost. Verily, verily, he says, I say unto you, the world shall rejoice, and ye shall sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it must go through deep ways with thy people, ways in which they must experience that everything is cut off, that everything is taken away, what they thought thou hadst given them. Oh, it is a way in which thou wilt also uphold them, or the way of death, but that is unto life, life eternal. Oh, give us to experience those ways. Forgive all that is sinful, within us and without, in hearing, in speaking. Bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 347. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3, unto the hills, around do I lift up my longing eyes. Oh, whence for me shall my salvation come? From whence arise? From God the Lord doth come my certain aid. From God the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 347.
shall my salvation come? From whence arise? From God the Lord doth come my certain aid. From God the Lord who heaven and earth hath made. He will not suffer that thy foot be moved. Safe shalt thou be. Shall his eyelids close? Who keepeth thee? Behold, he sleepeth not, he slumbereth. Himself thy keeper true, thy changeless shade, Jehovah evermore on thy right hand. Himself hath made, and thee no son by day shall ever smite. No moon shall harm thee in the sun. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.